We are delighted to have these opportunities to share the Word of God. I admit that we are in verses that are so negative, are so unhappy, at times so depressing, we almost wish, why do we have to spend time there? Why can't we just bring message after message on from John 3:16 or from 1 John, where it talks about the love of God for us? But the fact is, we must remember the whole Bible is the Word of God, and we must listen to the whole Word of God. And woe unto us if we do not bring the whole counsel of God. And that includes these verses, too, that we're presently studying. Now, we've been going through Jeremiah, and we have come right near the end of Jeremiah 28. And as we have been looking at that, God has been instructing us that there are those who come in the name of the Lord, who look exactly like they are true prophets of God, and yet they are not true prophets of God. And God typified this by a man by the name of Hananiah. Here, Jeremiah did get a message that indeed, Hananiah, you are a false prophet. And then he declared to him in verse 16, "Behold, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. We read in Jeremiah 28 something very curious. He died in the same year in the seventh month. Now, of course, in a historical setting, it simply meant that the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy came very quickly, so that anybody could know, you know, Jeremiah is speaking of God. It is happening. But God has recorded this for us so that we also can puzzle, why would God particularly emphasize the seventh month? Why didn't he say he died this very same year? Isn't that sufficient to let us know that indeed his prophecy has been fulfilled? Why the seventh month? Now, when we study the Bible more carefully, we find, first of all, that God really has 2-year ends. We don't normally know this or think about this. We haven't been taught this. The normal year, remember, it began, if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, the normal year is beginning in the spring of the year. He is saying in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, we know that this was the month a Nisan, or it's also called Abib in the Bible, and it comes in the spring of the year. But the Bible also speaks in several places of the first day of the seventh month as the beginning of a new year, And we're kind of surprised at that. Go back to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. In Exodus 23, we read there about the Feast of Ingathering, which is also called the Feast of Tabernacles. And we read in verse 16, let's start with verse 14. "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread." Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. And incidentally, the feast of unleavened bread, the first day, coincided with the Passover. That was in the first month of the biblical calendar. That was in the spring of the year, always in March or April. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, and eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in a time appointed of the month Abib. That's a Hebrew name for the first month of the Jewish calendar. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, that identifies with Exodus 12, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. Now that is the feast of Pentecost that came 7 weeks after the, approximately 7 weeks after the Passover. And that would have been in the month of May or June normally, or April, May or June, someplace in there. And it always falls on a Sunday because it was a day after the Sabbath. We still observe or take note of the Feast of Pentecost. And then the third feast, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Now, the Feast of Ingathering, we know, was in the seventh month. It began on the 15th day. God repeats this in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus 34, where we read in Exodus 34, in verse 22, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, that is the Feast of Pentecost, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shalt thou, your men children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. In other words, again, it is God is insisting that the Feast of Ingathering, that was the Feast of bringing in the final harvest. There was a very early harvest that occurred in March or April, and that's called the Feast of First Fruits, and it is anticipating Christ, who is our first fruits. And then there was a harvest called that normally was thought of as the barley harvest, because barley was one of the early grains that was harvested, and that came about the time of the Feast of Pentecost, and this first spring harvest of the land. Remember, they didn't have irrigation. They waited upon the rain, and they were able to get at least two crops, sometimes three crops. There was the winter crop that they harvested in April, in March or April, and then there was the early spring crop that they harvested around May or June. And then there was the fall harvest, which was the big harvest. That's in California, for example, our climate is very similar to that of Palestine. And when is the big harvest? When do all the fruit trees come into fruit? And when, and so on, it is in the fall of the year that there is a great harvest. And that was typified by the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast, it's also called the Feast of Ingathering. It was the final harvest. And it was at the end of the year. It was at the end of really the agricultural year. But nevertheless, here it's just speaking of as being at the end of the year. Very interestingly, God makes reference to this and ties the feast of this Feast of Ingathering also into the Feast of Tabernacles in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, in the solemnity, and incidentally, this word solemnity in this instance is a very special Hebrew word. It's the word moed, which means appointed time. In the appointed time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you see, it's the end of 7 years in the Feast of, at an appointed time in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we had already seen that the Feast of Ingathering was at the end of the year. Here God is speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles as the end of the year, and the Feast of Ingathering and the Feast of Tabernacles are one and the same. The time when they were to celebrate the fact that they had entered successfully into the land of Canaan, and it was also the time when they celebrated the completion of the big harvest, the fall harvest. And so here it is in the it's speaking about the year of release, when all Israel is to appear before the Lord thy God in a place he shall choose. And remember that in the other two references it said that three times they were to come before him, in the Feast of Passover, in the Feast of Pentecost, and in the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Tabernacles. The reference is made to this year of release in the fourth place in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. In the end of 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And incidentally, you notice it says every there, and that is put there by the translators. Actually, it just says in the end of 7 years, and that's very curious, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. And then it goes on to describe this whole business of the release. And I'm just going to outline this very quickly for a moment. I don't want to get into the detail of this particularly, but in that year of release, if for example, someone was very poor, and he came to you, and he was a fellow Israelite, and he borrowed some money from you, and it was only, and 2 years later came the end of the 7 years of release. Then, in that year, if he had not paid it back, you have to forgive him whatever he still owed. And the Bible warned, now suppose that you're only a year or just a short time before the year of release, and your brother is really in need, and you're saying, oh, I'm not going to loan you because you'll never pay me back, because in 6 months comes the year of release, and then I have to forgive the debt, and you'll never pay me back. God said, don't you do that. If he needs it, you lend it to him, even though in that year of release you're not going to get it. And incidentally, spiritually, that end of the year is pointing, and as we go along in our studies, we're going to develop this more and more, but just to summarize very quickly, it's really pointing to the fact that when we get to the Feast of Tabernacles, every sin has been forgiven. It's at the end of the year. It's at the end of the 7 years. But now, you see, this makes the Feast of Tabernacles a very, very, or the Feast of Ingathering, a very, very interesting piece of information insofar as God's whole time calendar is concerned. Because as we've gone through the development of the unfolding of God's timeline for the gospel, we have found that there were three big feast days, as well as some intermediate important days, And we have found that on the day of Passover, the very day that the Israelites were celebrating the Passover, on that very day Christ was, the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. On the very day that Israel came in obedience to the command that on three occasions they were to come to Jerusalem and celebrate these three feast days, the second one was the Feast of Pentecost. And on that day, there was the great first fruits harvest as God began his plan to evangelize the world. Well, now that leaves one feast still in limbo. It's still, we don't see that yet. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we've sensed all the way along that somehow that has to do with the very end of the world. The Feast of Tabernacles has to do with the end of the world. Now, it is truly remarkable that when we come to the end of the 2300 evening and mornings, when we worked out the biblical calendar, well, let me back up. It was truly remarkable that when we worked through that part passage of time near the time of Christ, and remember that there were 1,335 days that had to be integrated into the biblical calendar. And when did that begin? We found that it began on the 25th day of September in A.D. 29. And lo and behold, that was the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month, which meant, in a certain sense, that there's a new year, a new year. And what new year is that? What new year? It was emphasizing that the year of Jubilee had come, the fact that now God was going to evangelize the whole world. It coincided, remember, with the announcement that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that he came to take away the sins of the world, that is, any sins that God planned to save was going to pay for would be paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, God is emphasizing, hey, we're in a new year. There's a new year. Now remember, when Christ was announced as the Lamb of God, that announced something marvelous, that now sins are going to be forgiven. The whole world's going to hear the gospel. And lo and behold, on the first day of the seventh month in 1994 A.D., 2,300 days after the end of the 13,000 years, the fact is that again, God has a big announcement. There's a great multitude which no man can number that are going to be coming in to the body of believers. But this is in the seventh month. It's at the end of the year. It's the first day of the seventh month of the calendar, and according to we've come to the year of release. It's the time of release. Well, this is going to get more and more involved as we go along, because it finally ends, you know, on the day of the tabernacles. Remember in John 7, in that great day, on that last day, and when we see the phrase last day, it is at the very end. And we're going to find, as we research this a little more, that again, we get tie-ins that show that tie all of this together, and we'll begin to look at that in our next study. But right now, what we're seeing here is that the last day is being identified, or in the seventh month, rather, is being identified with a new year, and that new year is actually coming after God has been really finished with the world. In a real sense, the world was finished in the year 1988, That was the 13,000th anniversary, and from now on, it's judgment. And it just happens to be that in that judgment period, God has inserted, beginning 2,300 days later, the period of the final harvest. The final harvest has to be worked in there for the sake of the elect. Remember Matthew 24, verse 21, verse 22? In verse 21, it says, there will be great tribulation such as this world has never known, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be short. And so for the sake of the elect, God has inserted in that judgment period, that judgment day, that judgment year, He has inserted the Feast of Ingathering that began on the first day of the seventh month of the Jewish of the calendar, of sending out the gospel. That's a very short period, a very short period, and it will end with Judgment Day, or the return of Christ Himself. Well, I've just scratched the surface a little bit in this, and I've left a lot of things unsaid yet. And in our next study, I'll try to develop this in a little more detail, and we'll begin to see how some numbers here that will begin to tie together. But we do find that this is why God says in Jeremiah chapter 28 that He died in the seventh month. You see, the seventh month, that's where we are. It's in that time of judgment. Everyone who is opposed to God is headed for judgment. This is, I believe, the spiritual tie in there.